the passages I've listed, and I'll be reading, so that'll be helpful as well. Talked about in this beginning of the chapter about grace and peace to us, praising God for all the spiritual blessings He blessed us in Christ, made us His own, adopted us His own. He's redeemed us, made us His people. So today we will think about it further. We'll start reading in verse 9. We're going to actually focus on verse 10 and 12 in particular, but I want to back up and read those sections of Scripture, and then we'll go back and look at those verses. Ephesians chapter 1, starting in verse 9. He made known to us the mystery of His will, according to His kind intention, which He purposed in Him, with a view to administration suitable to the fullness of the times, that is, a summing up of all things in Christ, things in the heavens and things in the earth. In Him also we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to His purpose, who works all things as the counsel of His will, to the end that we who were the first to hope in Christ would be to the praise of His glory. I want to think about the inheritance that the Scripture talks about in Christ. In verse 11, actually the end of verse 10, picking up in verse 11, says, in Him we have obtained an inheritance. When do you get an inheritance? After they die. When do we get God's inheritance? After Jesus died. That's the basis for our inheritance. Now, we get more blessings that are coming, but in order to get in on that inheritance that God has promised to those who know Him, we have to receive Jesus, the source of that inheritance. So the first thing in your notes is receive Jesus, the source of our inheritance. He talked about God wanting us to have this wonderful inheritance from Him. I still am amazed that God wants us. I've said this several times, you know that. But I'm just amazed. He wants us to belong to Him. But He wants us not only to belong to Him, but to have an inheritance. Let me read the Scripture passage. It's on your notes. And I said, who are you, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom you're persecuting. But go and get up. But get up and stand on your feet, for this purpose I have appeared to you, to appoint you a minister and a witness, not only to the things which you have seen, but also to the things which I will appear to you, rescuing you from the Jewish people, from the Gentiles, to whom I am sending you, to open their eyes, so they may turn from darkness to light, from the dominion of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who have been sanctified by faith in me. Paul is talking about meeting Jesus on the road to Damascus, which is recorded in Acts chapter 9. And he's remembering this in this passage of Scripture. So when he met the Lord spoke to him and said, I'm going to send you out. Well, you notice what he said he was going to do. He was going to go to open their eyes so they can turn from darkness to light. Anybody need that? Anybody in our world needs that? And secondly, that they may turn from the dominion of Satan or the rule of Satan to God. Is those two sort of together, dark and light, and dominion of Satan, ruling of God? They're connected. Because those who serve the devil are also in a world of darkness. But Jesus said, I came that you might turn from Satanness, from darkness to the light, to the living God, so that you may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who have been sanctified by faith in me. So if I'm going to get in on God's inheritance, I get it because I've come to faith in Jesus Christ. I've commented, I was probably comment several times in this section of Scripture particularly, several times, a number of times, it says, in Him. The end of verse 10, which continues in verse 11, in Him we have obtained an inheritance. That inheritance comes because we have received Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. The only way we'll ever get in on what God has for us now and in the future is by our own personal faith in Christ and seeking to follow Him. Nothing we do, nothing we say, no actions will ever get us into the kingdom of God. Only Christ and only faith in Him connects us to the inheritance that God has provided. So the inheritance he's talking about here is only for Christians. this inheritance will not be a part of those who do not know Christ. So if you don't know Jesus, you're not going to get in on any of this. You're going to get another, I wouldn't call it an inheritance, but you're going to get another side of the coin. And you won't like it. Because the Bible says it's separation from God forever in a place called hell. And the Bible says it burns with fire forever. But the biggest issue in that situation is knowing that God's not there. Did you ever stop to think about what this world would be like if God just took about a 10-second break? If he just took a little break, this world would be, we think we're bad now. If God took a little break, we'd be in utter chaos. But also the loneliness. Do you remember, some of you may have not come to Christ until you were later in life. Do you remember what it's like before you met Jesus? Do you remember the feeling and the loneliness and the isolation you maybe felt? But when you came to Jesus, he brought new life to you. He brought a new relationship to you. He brought new life to you. And so when you turn from the dominion of Satan to God, you find a whole new perspective on life. And so, but all that comes as an inheritance from God because of Jesus. So today I want to encourage you to commit your life to Jesus and to follow him. Because it's a lifetime of following him. I'm glad I get to follow him now, and I get to follow him tomorrow, and I get to follow him into eternity. That's a wonderful relationship. You see, other relationships end. Unless Jesus comes back and we all go to heaven at the same time. Unless, without that, these relationships that we enjoy one day are going to come to an end. But the relationship with Jesus goes on and on and on and on and on forever. And it's a wonderful, growing relationship. So I want to receive Christ, commit my life to Christ, follow Jesus as a source of our inheritance. I thought about another passage of Scripture that I didn't put in your notes. But the Bible talks about that because we are with Christ, we're joint heirs with Jesus. Because of our faith in him, we're whatever Jesus gets, we get. Think about that. Isn't that awesome? That Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who loved us, died on the cross, rose, ascended, gone to heaven. Everything he's got, we're joint heir to. How do we get that? Because we belong to Jesus. Not because of anything we've ever done or said or acted, but by our faith in Jesus. And so, if you're going to get in this inheritance that the Scripture talks about, it begins by a living relationship with Jesus. Now, I want to celebrate the inheritance Jesus provides. Celebrate the inheritance Jesus provides. What is that inheritance like? What is that he offers to us like? Well, look at a scripture passage on your notes and think about it. It says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy," aren't you glad for that? "Who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you." Now, he gives praise to God that caused us to be born again, a spiritual transformation in Christ. Jesus talked to Nicodemus in John chapter 3. He said, in order to know the things of God and to go to heaven, you've got to be born again. The spiritual transformation that God does in us. I don't understand how he does it, but he does it when we receive him by faith and we're born again. But he says that we have a living hope that we're in Christ because he raised from the dead. Now, he says we have an inheritance in Jesus because of Jesus. In fact, in some ways, I just say Jesus is the inheritance. If I get Jesus, I got everything else he's got. And I celebrate the relationship to Jesus. But I'm going to talk about that. He talks about in this passage of Scripture what that inheritance is like. So, under that, Jesus gave me an eternal inheritance. Jesus gave me an eternal inheritance. It said, we have an inheritance which is imperishable. It will never fade away. It will never diminish. It's imperishable. So when you're connected to Jesus and all we do for Jesus is going to remain forever and ever and ever and ever. When you think about it, you know, sometimes we serve the Lord and sometimes we get tired. Do you ever get tired of serving the Lord? Or in the midst of serving, maybe not tired of serving, but in the midst of that, sometimes you get weary. But I need to remember that everything you do for Jesus is an eternal action. whatever I have service I render, whatever ministry I do, is going to have an everlasting effect. Did you realize that when you come, if you know, now you got to know Jesus for this to happen, okay? But if you know Jesus, your being here today to worship Jesus, is this an eternal action that you're involved in right now as you worship the Lord Jesus? Is he going to remember that? You're involved in eternity because of who Christ is. That inheritance is, and as you serve him and some other things I'll talk about, but we have, he said, this is an inheritance from Jesus that will never perish. You can count on it. You can depend on it. You can anchor your life on it. Nothing else in the world is as dependable as he is. Everything else is going to diminish, right? Everything else is going to fade away sooner or later. But Jesus will not. So when I anchor my life in him and I serve him and I'm involved with him, I have an inheritance, folks, that is imperishable. Thank you, Lord. Stock market won't bother it. Other things won't bother it. Fires won't bother it. It's imperishable. Secondly, Jesus gave me a pure inheritance. He said that it's an inheritance which is imperishable, undefiled. It will never get contaminated with any false stuff, any ungodly stuff. It is a pure inheritance. It is undefiled for us. I'm glad that it will never diminish or that it's undefiled. It's pure. It's holy. It's everything God wants it to be. And I look forward to that inheritance. Do you have this? Am I talking about stuff you got? Because of our relationship to Jesus, we've received him. He says, an undefiled one. Everything human beings touch gets messed up. But doesn't it? Sooner or later. Only God can give us something that will never get messed up, never be contaminated. And I'm grateful that this inheritance will remain pure forever. Also, Jesus gave me an inheritance that keeps its value. It says, it will not fade away. What that means to me, it'll never diminish in value. In fact, I think the longer I serve the Lord, the song says, the sweeter it grows. That this inheritance that I have in Jesus will be something that will keep its value forever and ever and ever. It will never lose its meaning, its significance. In this world, do you ever find stuff that you think's great and then all of a sudden it diminishes? For instance, did you ever buy a new vehicle and it smells so good, so new? And then, you keep it polished and you keep it vacuumed really nice. Then after a while, after a few weeks or a year or so, you didn't quite get the same attention. Its value has gone down to you. It's faded in its value. But when you serve Jesus, it will never fade in value. It will never diminish. We'll always enjoy it. We'll always be delighted with him. He will always bring to us joy, meaning, and value. And so this inheritance in Christ is going to maintain its value. It'll never fade away. Thank you, Lord. I got to anchor my life to something that's going to keep on keeping on what it is. And I can celebrate that. He also says, Jesus gave me an inheritance reserved in heaven. The passage in 1 Peter said, it's an inheritance, imperishable, undefiled, won't fade away, reserved in heaven for you. So in Christ, when I anchor my life in Jesus, he says, there will be an inheritance for you reserved in heaven. Now, when you reserve something, what do you expect? If you reserve a parking spot or you reserve a ticket, what do you expect when you go there? You expect to get it, right? It's reserved. Got your name on it. Well, I want to know, do you have anything reserved in heaven? Is your name on anything in heaven? Because of Jesus. The Bible talks about a place that the names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Reserved with your name on it in heaven. And folks, because of Jesus, I'm glad to know that when I leave this world, when I stand before the throne of God and God takes a look in his book, Eugene Overstreet is going to be found in that book. And I have an inheritance with my name on it. And if you know Jesus, you're serving Jesus, you have a name, your name is written in the kingdom of God, in His book. Because I'm serving Him here, I've received Him, not because I'm good, but because of Jesus. Reserved in heaven for you. And when I think about all that, that challenges me to devote my life to Him. If He's that good, since He is, not if, since He is, why not give Him all I've got? Why not give Him my full devotion? I mean, this is wonderful. Then I think about teaching Jesus said, "Do lay up treasure where? In heaven, where moth and rust don't corrupt or thieves break in and steal." And what I'm suggesting is that we have an inheritance from Christ, that as we will follow Him, as we love Him, as we serve Him, as we obey Him, we're laying up treasure in heaven. The amazing thing is that treasure that I get is not mine. It's mine, but I don't deserve it. I've thought about this, and you've heard me comment about it. Some of you have, at least. Jesus saves us by the grace of God. We receive Him as Savior, and we're born again. Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, comes to live in us. He asks us to serve Him, and so we teach, we live godly, we live holy, we do the things we ought to do in Christ, and He helps us do it. And then we get to heaven, He gives us credit for what He did through us. Well, now what happens? Everything we do in the flesh is no value. It's only in the power of the Spirit. And because of that, I have an inheritance in heaven. And I'm going to lay up treasure in heaven because I'm serving Him effectively and trying to be everything He wants me to be. So, I celebrate the inheritance that Jesus says He provides. On the other side of your notes, I want to think about another aspect of this inheritance, this treasure. If you're writing in your notes, be involved in God's purpose. Be involved in God's purpose. He said that He predestined or determined ahead of time according to His purpose, who works all things at the counsel of His will, but according to God's purpose. Is God running the show? Or are Americans running the show? Is God really? Does God have a plan and a purpose that He is fulfilling and will fulfill and will finalize one day? Then ultimately He is going to finish it all. He is really in control. He really is. Let me read you a couple of verses that are on your notes. "For truly in this city there were gathered together against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, to do whatever your hand and your purpose predestined to occur." These are the disciples who have been told to shut up about Jesus, but then they're going to kill Him. I'm paraphrasing, but that's where this comes from. And they're saying, we're threatened, but we said, I want you to notice, they were talking about Jesus dying on the cross. But notice what it says about that. "We are gathered in your holy, in the name of your holy servant Jesus, you appointed us, both whom you anointed, Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles and the people of Israel." Now, we say that the Jews crucified Jesus, the Romans crucified Jesus. They carried it out, but what does this scripture say? "They were gathered together to do whatever your hand and your purpose predestined to occur." They weren't doing something on their own. They were doing what God already planned. He had purposed that Jesus Christ was going to die on the cross. The Bible says He was slain from the foundation of the world, before the world was ever created. God knew that we were all going to sin and we need a Savior. And God said, "My Son's going to be it." And He planned that ahead of time. The cross, the resurrection, all of that, Jesus already planned. And God's purpose, it was being fulfilled in the cross and in the death of Jesus. And so they're reminding themselves that God did everything what He purposed to do. The next verse says, "And we know that God causes all things to work together for good, to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. Now, God causes all things. Some translations word this differently. I like this phrasing of this passage. Those who love God and are called according to His purpose. When you were saved, if you're a child of God, did God save you for a purpose? Or did He just sort of leave you out there in limbo? When He saved each one of you, He had something in mind, I believe, that He wanted to do with you and through you and by His power in you. And so we're called according to His purpose. Let me read the other verse and then try to... Then the king shall say to those on his right hand, come, you are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. In Matthew 25, he's talking about separating the sheep and the goats and so on, and then how well we serve him. But now, I want you to notice what Jesus said. The king will say to those on his right hand, come, you are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared when? Before the foundation of the world. What I want you to see. Remember, this inheritance that we get in on is a part of God's plan and God's purpose that God started when He, it's always been, but when He created the universe and the world and put it all together, God had an eternal plan that in Jesus Christ there would be hope and salvation, that in Jesus Christ He would draw together a group of people who belong to Him. He would draw together people who belong to Him forever and serve Him in heaven and enjoy Him here on earth and minister in His name. And God's purpose is being fulfilled and will be fulfilled because He set it in motion. He is going to fulfill it. He is going to bring it to an end. And we better be ready for it by walking with Him today. Because that inheritance that He talked about, this thing that He prepared for us, He said in this scripture passage that He predestined it according to His purpose. And so my desire is, God, You call me according to Your purpose. Help me to line up my life with Your purpose for me rather than my purpose for myself. There's a difference. And I need to ask God, why did You make me? Why did You put me here? What was Your purpose? Why do I exist? Because He put me here for more than just to take up space and breathe air. He put me here because somehow if I yield to Him, He's got a part. And that purpose that He has for me, I believe, is God's got this overall wonderful plan He's accomplishing. And He's saying, if you'll let me, I'll bring you into fitting in to this purpose that I've got, that I fulfill, and I want you to be a part of it. It's sort of in my mind like a jigsaw puzzle. He's bringing this piece and this piece, you and you and you and you, these pieces together into His overall picture and plan, that when He gets through with it, it'll be like finishing a jigsaw puzzle. You'll see the complete picture, and He's put you in as some of the pieces to make that picture what He wants it to be. Because He's got a purpose. And we were saying, God, I submit my heart and my soul and I'll be obedient to You so that I can get in on that, be fitted into Your overall purpose. Because, folks, we're about something bigger than us. We're about something bigger than Sierra Baptist Church. We're about something bigger than the United States. We're talking about a kingdom plan and purpose that God's fulfilling, whether I know it or not and whether I see it or not, not only in this country but around the world. God is at work to bring people together, and ultimately He's going to build His kingdom. He is going to bring together people who belong to Him. He is going to finalize His victory. He is going to triumph, and He's fitting us into that purpose. As we yield to Him and cooperate with Him in our own lives, He'll put us into that plan. And I'm sure glad He let me be one of those little pieces that into this huge plan of God that He's got us about. Oh, may God help us to see we're about something far bigger than we are here. We got a ministry far bigger than us, than this church and this community which we need to share Jesus with. But He's about a purpose. He said He's predestined according to His purpose and His plan. And that's what I want. I want to be involved in that. I want to say, God, help me see that. And I hope you do. Because sometimes we get bogged down in the here and now. We get bogged down in our own little worlds. I do, and I think you do. I need to remember, God's called me for something bigger than my world, bigger than my place, bigger than Sierra Baptist Church, bigger than what I do. God has been fitting me in to an eternal plan. And God helped me to see that and be involved with it and understand, yeah, I want to be a part of that. I want to yield to You. I want to cooperate with You.
in thinking about that, I picked this note from Charles Wesley, whom some of you know from ages past. But here's what he said. I want the whole Christ for my Savior, the whole Bible for my book, the whole church my fellowship, and the whole world is my mission field. God help us to see like He sees His purpose. That in this inheritance, He's bringing into His that inheritance His purpose. Then He also said in that same passage of Scripture, He does everything after the counsel of His will. So, if you're writing in your notes, seek God's counsel. Seek God's counsel. The counsel of His will. Let me read the passage and think about it for a minute. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are His judgments and unfathomable His ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord, who has become His counselor? Or who has first given to Him that it might be paid back to Him again? For from Him and through Him and to Him are all things. To Him be glory forever. Amen. You get that? The depth of the wisdom and knowledge of God. His judgments are unsearchable. His ways are unfathomable. And then he asks the question, who's been smart enough to tell God what to do? But do you ever do that? Do you ever tell God, this is what I want you to do, instead of asking Him what He wants you to do? And then we get frustrated because He doesn't do what we ask Him to do sometimes. Notice what He said about God. His ways, His judgments are unfathomable. Who's known the mind of the Lord? Who's been His counselor? Nobody. But does God know what He's doing? Can I ask Him for advice? Will He give it to me? Absolutely. He will give it to me. Because it says, from Him, through Him, to Him are all things. What's that say? Everything's wrapped up in Him. Everything's wrapped up in Jesus and in God's way and in God's plan. And so when I want to know, I come to find God's counsel. God, what do You think about this? What do You think? My problem is sometimes I do it and then ask God later, what do you think, instead of asking ahead of time. You know what happens usually if I do that way? I do what I think without asking God ahead of time. You know what usually happens to me? I get in trouble. I mess up. So I want to know, what do you think? Now, if I really want God's counsel, where am I going to be? I'm going to be studying this book and saying, God, show me what You want me to do out of it. Do you want God's wisdom? He's got it right here. And there's nobody who's ever explored all there is to know about this book. And you found, as I found, you can read John 3:16 more than once and find out something in it that you didn't see before. Or other passages of Scripture. So if I really want God's wisdom, I want this inheritance of God's counsel. I'm going to get in the book. And say, God, help me see it. Now again, I want you to remember that you'll not get that unless you know Jesus. God, the truth of God's Word will only be opened up to people who know Christ as Savior and Lord. The lost world, if you don't know Jesus, it's going to be hard to get this. But as a Christian, God will open it. What I like about it is, when I come to this book, and I look at it, the author of this book is the Lord God through the Holy Spirit. Now, if the author wrote the book, do you suppose I could ask the author, what did you mean by what you wrote? You think he'd tell me? Yeah. So if I want the counsel of God, I'm going to be spending this time in the Bible, reading and studying it, getting to know it more and more and more. So that I can get in on God's counsel. Is God smart? Now we say that. Is He smarter than I am? Yeah, much smarter than I am. But sometimes I think I want to tell Him how smart I am, and He lets me do it, and then I find out I wasn't so smart after all. So I want to start. I'd rather start with finding out what He wants, what He thinks, ahead of time than having to go back and
repeat or correct my mistakes. I know we don't do it perfectly, but in this inheritance that we have in Christ, we have access to God's purpose. And in this inheritance, we have access to the counsel of God's will. He will guide us. He will direct us. I'm grateful for that. We can ask Him. Now, whatever He tells you will always be in harmony with this book. Always will be in harmony with this book, the truth of it. Now, I recognize you can pick out a passage, a scripture, a verse or two, and make it say whatever you want to say, because people do it. But you look at the whole counsel of the scriptures, He'll give you good advice. And He'll let you know. The last thing on your notes, live so I praise God's glory. Notice this passage said, then in Him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined for the purpose of His purpose, who works all things after the counsel of His will, pardon me, to the end that we who were first to hope in Christ would be the praise of His glory. Paul talks about those who are first to hope in Christ. We may not be the first, but aren't you glad your hope is in Jesus? Aren't you glad you're among those who have their faith anchored in Christ? Now, that verse comes to say that we would be to the praise of His glory. When I think of all that God's given and all the inheritance He provides, I want my life to give Him glory and praise. So let me read the scripture passage at the bottom of your notes there. Whether then you eat or drink, whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Is that our heart's cry? I mentioned, I think, last week this. It was around for quite a while ago, WWJD. A bracelet, a lot of T-shirts had it on it. What would Jesus do? That's still pretty good philosophy. Still a good approach to life. And say, God, I want to live in such a way that when I get through living, people are going to glorify God for what happened in my life. People are going to praise God for what they see through me. The other verse says, whoever speaks is to do so as one who speaks is speaking the utterance of God. Whoever serves is to do so as one who is serving by the strength which God supplies, so that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. He said, whatever we do, we want to honor Jesus. We want to do it in such a way that we're doing it honestly and caringly and lovingly in all the ways of God, that when we get through with it, God is glorified. He to whom belongs the glory and dominion forever and ever. Does it all belong to Him? All praise and glory belongs to Him. That's where it comes from. Everything we've got, everything we do is from Him. So I want our lives to be an honor to Him. So every time I do an act of service, I want to do it in such a way that people know Jesus did it, not me. Some people do service and don't want anybody to know about it because they don't want any credit for it. That's okay, too. When I live a godly lifestyle, am I glorifying the Lord? When my neighbors know I'm a Christian and I try to act like it, that glorifies the Lord. When my neighbor knows that if they do a business dealing with me, they don't have to sign any contract, they know I'm going to live out what I told them to the best of my ability. That honors God. When they see me living a decent and an honest life, it will glorify God. When they know that I encourage them, that I share with them. So my goal, my question is, because of all that Christ has done, all this inheritance, I'm going to live so that as a result of that, the glory gets to God. God, people see it. God glorifies. They glorify God. They give God praise. Jesus said it in the New Testament earlier. Do all your works in such a way that they see them and glorify the Father in heaven. That they see things coming out of our lives that only God can do that we wouldn't do by ourselves. You do stuff as a Christian. You serve. You give time and ministry. You help people in a way that a lost people don't do. And it gives glory. Because the only way we get to do that, what caused to do that is our relationship to God. But let me suggest one other thing that would be a value way of glorifying God as we take the inheritance and share it. Do you suppose that Jesus wants us to tell anybody else about that inheritance? Do you suppose He wants someone else to get in on the inheritance He wants to provide? earlier I read that Paul said that part of what God called him to do was to open their eyes, to show them the truth, so they can turn from Satan to God, from darkness to light. Is that our task too? Aren't you glad for what you've got in Jesus? But isn't it worth telling someone else about? Isn't it worth encouraging someone else to get in on it? I hope we're not going to say, well, I've got it, so I'm going to keep it all to myself. No, let's share it. Can you outgive the inheritance God's given you? Can you give it all away and wind up with nothing? No. It's amazing. You give it all away and still got it. Because of this inheritance we have in Christ, He is our inheritance. I want to live in such a way that I give God glory and praise. My prayer is that all of us will find ways to demonstrate to others how wonderful Jesus is by our lifestyle, and then talk to them about how wonderful He is, so that they get in on the inheritance too. Because God, I believe Jesus wants everybody to inherit what He's got. I believe He died for everybody. May God help us to be more alert to that as we go. So, I want to live in this inheritance. Isn't that wonderful? I can celebrate that. But then I want to live godly. I want to share it. I want to live holy because I've got this inheritance. Imperishable, undefiled, won't fade away, reserved in heaven for me. So I can go for it. I can go full force for what God's called me to do. Because that's all there. It's secure. I don't have to worry about it. I can go on, serve and minister, teach and share. Let's bow together. If you're here today and don't know Jesus, I want you to know He loves you and died for you. He wants you to get in on all this. He wants you to give your heart to Him and receive Him as Savior and begin a life with Him. Many of us already know Him. We can say, I'm born again, I'm saved, and now I'm in on the inheritance. But let me ask you and ask this, well, what the Spirit of God says, how are you living that out? Are you living in that fully, or are you just, drifting along? Are we sharing the good news? May God help us, stir us, me and you, to invite others to get in on this inheritance. Is my lifestyle pleasing to God? Is my habits pleasing to God? Or is there some that need to be changed? God wants to change them so that He'll be glorified. He'll transform them. Whatever you've got, whatever needs to be changed, He'll help you change it. He's promised that. So this morning, I encourage you to commit your life to Him. Listen to those changes He may take, He may call you to make. If you've never received Him today, you'll receive Him and come and tell us about it. You'll commit your life to sharing the good news of Jesus so that others get in on this wonderful inheritance. Lord, thank You for Your presence. You know what's going on in every one of us. You see me, You see every person in this room. And You know what You want to happen. So, Lord, we commit this to You. Thank You that You're here. Thank You we can trust You to move in our lives. And Lord, give us the courage to say yes to You because we sense Your presence, because we want to obey You, because we love You. We want to do things Your way. So, Lord, look in our hearts. Change us where we need to be changed. Help us to be willing to be changed. In Jesus' name.